So, Lord, we just lift up Shannon to you, and we just thank you for the words you've given her. Mm-hmm. And, Lord, that our hearts are open to receive, and we have ears to hear, and we expect to see changes in our lives as we establish your word in our heart. So thank you for her, in Jesus' name. Amen.
The last song that we just sang. The Lord takes what the enemy intended for evil and turns it to good. And Linda shared a story with me this morning. They were at a ladies' conference in Red Deer. And how many years have you and Krista been doing this conference? 21 years. That's amazing. That's wonderful. How old were you, Krista, when you first started doing that?
Linda, when I was 18.
18 years old.
Probably against my will.
Absolutely. Pretty much sure that's true. Yeah. I just want to sing the name of Jesus. For how many years did Don and Linda sing over their kids and some of the rebellion? And you know what? That happens because we get hurt and stuff happens. But we are faithful. We, the faithful, need to keep praying. Nothing like praying grandparents. Because the Lord hears those prayers. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over their minds and over their hearts. I speak it over my nieces. And we're going to see the victory. It's already ours. Jesus has accomplished it. We're just speaking it into the earth. As for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. And the freedom that's coming in that. To talk about the little story that Linda shared, are you okay if I share your story about the couple that spoke this weekend and his experience? Not a believer, gets into trouble with the law and ends up in prison. What the enemy intended for evil, God then turns for good, because guess what happens the first day he's in prison? He got saved.
He actually got saved the day before he went.
Oh, the day before he went to prison?
So he was a drug dealer, and he was sentenced, and the day before he was sentenced to prison,
he gave life to the Lord. In a situation or a circumstance that the enemy wants to destroy, because we hear people go into prison, they come out hardened, more hardened than they went in. But he could come in, he becomes a pastor. Our God is amazing. And when we turn our lives over to Jesus, when we give our hearts to the one who loved us so much, he was willing to lay down his life so our sin is washed away by the blood of the Lamb. And then Jesus says this amazing thing. He says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. The advocate, your advocate, who will always be with you. We're going to get there. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. But he's going to help you walk this. How many were able to live a sinless life before Jesus? How many after? Only by the power of the Holy Spirit. And not that we don't stumble. But I love the scripture that says, though a righteous man stumble how many times?
Seven.
And that's every day. And what happens? He gets back up. He gets back up. Let me just put some things in place so when I get there, I'm going to be honest. I don't think I'm going to get through this whole message this morning. And there's a lot. You know, one of the things that we've been looking at is the Holy Spirit. And again, I don't want to rush this because this is something Jesus promised the believers. He promised his church. And it is something I'm going to say, at least here in North America, we kind of don't press into very hard. And it's not everybody, but the church has a long time been, yes, we know about the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit is with us. But we don't experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. We've been looking at, we started with, because we started in August, and we had, I'm not going to call them interruptions, we had little intermissions. As we had Teen Challenge, and we had Thanksgiving, and we had Linda share last week. How many remember the Tina Turner song that she used for the title? And what is her answer? It's nothing but a secondhand emotion, but the truth is, what has love got to do with it?
Everything.
And Jesus is that. He is love. I'm just going to share with you. One of my favorite words in the New Testament scripture is the word lavish. Do you know what it's attached to? The love of God that he, just say that word, lavished. Doesn't it roll off the tongue, kind of nice English version, lavished. He lavished it. And again, for me, I get the idea of, you know, the bubble bath with those really thick, luscious, not the little cheapo bubbles, but the luscious, foamy ones. Just lavish, and it's just, oh, you know, and that, I guess, I think of that, and I hear the word lavish, and that's how his love is. It's not the cheap little bubbly ones, it's the foamy, thick love of God for us. God so loved us, he gave his only son. God lavishes us with his love in that he calls us his children. Ooh. So we started by looking at who is the Holy Spirit. And what is his, if we can put it this way, looking up there, what's his first name? Holy. You know, he's Holy Spirit. He is the Holy God. He is holy. He is one of the three parts of the Trinity, and he is holy. We looked at the fact that he's omnipresent, and he is everywhere. He's here right now. How many of you know we don't have to call the Holy Spirit to come? How many of us has ever said, come, Holy Spirit? You know why we say that? Because we don't know better. He's already here. And what really is the Holy Spirit saying, come, Shannon. It's when we take the time to step back and take that breath and remember who is with us. Well, I'm going to get ahead of myself into the scripture that we're going to get to in a minute. Then we took 2 weeks to do this, walking with the idea, or looking at the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and the key to walking the empowered Christian life. You see, Jesus didn't abandon us. He says, I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. He's the one who walks with us. He's the one who teaches us. He's the one who empowers us to do what Scripture calls us to do. Not about how great we are doing it, but it's about listening to the Holy Spirit. Anyhow, I'm getting ahead of myself. Then we learned or talked about hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. And it only happens when we turn down the volume of the things of this world. Because let me tell you, this world is yelling at us. There is all kinds of things in our life that take the attention that we need to have for the Lord. And it distracts us. And that, you know what? Even Jesus had to get away to a quiet place. And he didn't take a cell phone with him. Right? Man, it's hard to shut it off, isn't it? Isn't it hard to stop the scrolling? Oh, I got a little thing. Oh, I'm not gonna get to preaching that at you. This morning we are at part four of the Holy Spirit, which is going to take us 6, 1, 7, and whatever. Doesn't matter. But we're looking at experiencing the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if you were here this morning listening to Linda talk about worship, she was talking about going beyond just the tradition and the rhetoric and the route of a ritual. Thank you. There's the word I was looking for. The rituals that we sometimes do to get beyond that, to experience, to worship in spirit and in truth, where our spirit connects with Holy Spirit and the truth of what the Word says, of what God has shown us and what Jesus has done for us. John 14, 16 says this, and this is Jesus. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. So does the Holy Spirit come and go? Do we sometimes feel the Holy Spirit and sometimes not? So who's moved? So rather than saying, Holy Spirit, come, we can say, Holy Spirit, I'm coming to you. Scripture tells us if we move towards God, he's going to draw near to us. We draw near to him, he draws near to us. Is that a faithful word of God? And say, well, I don't know. Well, we're going to get into that a little bit if we come sometimes say, I don't feel that. I sometimes ask, but I don't feel that. We're going to talk about that where we want to experience Holy Spirit, and sometimes we don't. We'll look at that in a bit. And sometimes when we don't, that's okay. Sometimes I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's just move on to the word that for our session this morning. We've already, looked at that. It's Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk on wine. How many are going to say, uh-oh? Because it leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. What's debauchery? Anybody want to know? I'm not even going to ask you to tell it. If you don't know what debauchery is, it's pretty not nice. It's kind of, I'm going to say, lewdness, wildness, just letting yourself go, get involved. Do you have the word? Do you have the definition? No. Party spirit. I'm just going to say kind of a lawlessness. I'm just going to, I'm going to say if you've ever had that experience, we've had a little bit to drink, and you get a little tipsy, you kind of get you don't have self-control. Your inhibitions kind of, and you start doing, and if you get too far into it, you wake up and realize you did some stupid things when you get your wisdom, your common sense back. But we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We hear the story of the 10 virgins, the parables, as Jesus said, there was 10 virgins, 10 of them. But we say there were five and five foolish. That the symbolism of virgin is the believers. And the five foolish did what? Let their oil run out. Let the anointing run out. Let the Spirit of God leave. But the other five, what did they do? They kept their lamps full. And we know that there is, in our world again, where we're not turning down the volume of the world, we're not spending time connecting with the Lord, because the Blue Jays are in the world. Sorry. Poke, poke, poke. Careful. I know. Sacred cow. I'm sure. No, never mind. I'm not going there. No, but what I mean is this. That sometimes we just let other things overtake time we could be connecting with Holy Spirit. Time. Holy Spirit's there. Hey, have you ever invited him to join you in watching the Blue Jays? I still remember Bible college, one of the ladies that came to preach, she was a prayer warrior, she was an intercessor, and she came and she said, she was watching hockey, and she said the Holy Spirit kept nudging her and saying, she kept saying, Holy Spirit, I'm going to come and spend the whole rest of the evening with you, I just want to watch the rest of the game, and then I'm going to spend the rest of the evening with you. And finally, when the game was over and all of that, she heard the Holy Spirit say to her, but I wanted to watch it with you. That recognition that he was already there with her. You know, sometimes we think He's over here and what I'm doing is here and the two can't mix, but he walks with us in everything. Well, I shouldn't say everything, but I'll get to that in just a minute. If you have your Bibles, I'm not putting it up there, but if you're taking notes, write down Acts 2. And we're going to go to start at verse 1. It says this, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly the sound, like a blowing of a violent wind, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. So what would you say they experienced at that moment? Wind? A sound of a wind? They heard something? Maybe they felt something? But the presence of the Holy Spirit, the promise, the fulfillment of the promise Jesus said was being poured out on them. What were they doing before that? Just, they were praying. They were together and they were praying. They were creating, I'm going to say this, an atmosphere for the presence of the Holy Spirit to come. Their thoughts and their focuses were on him, what the Lord had said. Jesus said, go and wait. We're here, we're praying, we're waiting. They actually did a little business. They decided to put somebody in place of Judas. So there was 12, wasn't the Lord's choice at the time, but we know that Paul was going to be raised up later. But it doesn't matter. They were there and they were trusting in the Lord and focusing and following what Jesus had said to them. And then the wind, like a mighty wind, the sound of a mighty wind, and suddenly from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be like tongues of fire. Do you remember Moses in the burning bush? The bush is on fire, but it's not burning up. There's nothing else to compare it to but fire. It's like fire, but it's not. And that's what it is, something that seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came and rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And that splits the church. And I'm going to start, say this. If you hear a message that tells you that God does not do tongues and healings and all of that, that was just for the beginning. I want you to know you are not listening to the Spirit of God. You're listening to another spirit. And I'm not saying that the people who stand on that don't believe in God, but they're not hearing what Scripture has said. And the gift of speaking in tongues is for the church today. And for those of you who think that it's merely to edify you, it is so not just that. We utter the mysteries of the kingdom into the earth. When you're praying for your family who are not following the Lord, who have turned away from the Lord, and you don't even know what to pray, because we come, oh Lord, will you just send someone? And we, you know what? Why don't you just lay that down? I'm going to say this. Pick up the gifts of tongues and speak in gift of tongues over your family and let the mysteries of the Holy Spirit speak what needs to happen in their lives. In the lives of your neighbors and the lives of your friends. And for those of you who say, well, some people get the gift and some people don't, I'll tell you what, you have the whole Holy Spirit and you go through scriptures and I don't see one place when they believers came to the Lord that they did not receive the gift of tongues when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the only reason I'm going to say that if you're not experiencing that is probably you've received teaching or something that tells you otherwise. And that doubt and that thinking and that teaching will hold you back from receiving because it's like, we get into it. Anyhow, and I'm willing to pray for anybody who wants that or doesn't believe that they have that. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'll release that gift in you. I know who my king is. I know what he promised you. Let's turn to Acts 4. We have a whole bunch of things that have gone on. We know that John and Peter have prayed over the lame man who was lame from birth, and he got up and he walked and was dancing before the Lord, and the magistrates and the Pharisees, they got a hold of Peter and John and pulled them in and told them, you stop preaching that. You stop preaching Jesus. And they set them free, and they come, I think I've got the wrong, maybe I've got the wrong scripture here, just hold on. Yeah. So I thought, okay, sorry. Nope, that's not the, I know why I'm wrong. I'm in the wrong book altogether. I'm in Ephesians going, that doesn't, no, wait. That's why. Sorry. So they threw them in prison and told them not to preach that, and on their release, they go back to the believers and share with them what happens. And verse 31 says, after this, they prayed. And where they were meeting was shaken. So this is Peter and John are with the believers. Are Peter and John filled with the Holy Spirit? Were they there at Pentecost? Okay. And so they're there with the believers and then prayed. Where they were meeting, and where they were meeting was shaken. Can you imagine if this building started to shake? Wouldn't we get a little freaked out? Probably. Oh, is this an earthquake? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Peter and John, who were filled with the Holy Spirit, were filled again. Now let me take you back to the 10 virgins. Filled again and again. And I know those of us who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit recognize there are times we feel low and dry. And we need to connect. We need to go, oh, Holy Spirit, I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm dry. Forgive me, Lord, that I went so long without connecting back to you. Experiencing the presence of the Holy Spirit. It starts by living a holy life, setting yourself up to experiencing it. And I'm talking here about the conscience. When your conscience is telling you, because Holy Spirit has said something to you about getting something, putting something out of your life that needs to go, and you don't do it, your conscience isn't going to let you receive from the Holy Spirit, because you're going to keep going, oh. You got to, let me put it this way. The blood of Jesus and the grace of Jesus has removed all sin from your life. You are no longer separated from God because of your sin. But I'll tell you what, you're separated in your conscience from receiving from him, because he is holy, he is pure. I want you to think about, I'm going to say, a little six-year-old. And if you saw a really not great advertisement that was very gory or whatever, what's the first thing you do? Cover their eyes. Or you're hearing a whole bunch of people cursing you. Cover their ears. Why? Because they're innocent. And you don't want that. Now, who do you carry inside of you? Holy Spirit. Jesus. Pure. And when we take steps into dark places or doing things or being disobedient to what the Holy Spirit has said, our conscience can't really hear what he's saying. And who we have in us doesn't abide in the darkness. It doesn't mean he doesn't abide in you, but he doesn't abide in those dark places and those things. And he is the one who tells us, get rid of this in your life. He will help us do that. He helps us walk in holiness and purity and things of God. Because those things are going to kill you. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. steal, kill, and destroy. And he's come to set you at liberty from those things. But if you keep hanging on to it, and trust me, I there's times, and I know what it's like, Holy Spirit, I'm not doing that. I'm being disobedient to what you're telling me because that doesn't feel comfortable. In my way of thinking, it doesn't seem right. Sorry for those online. I just walked out of the screen picture. But I'm not going to be tethered. And you see, it isn't because he wants to spoil your good times. It's because he wants you free. And your own conscience, as you read the word of God and it comes to light and life in your heart, then says, that can't be. But my thinking and my logic and my understanding says, well, I don't know. You see, because I'm not trusting what God is. I'm not trusting what he has said. We're going to get into that in just a minute, too. Let's take a little visit to Ephesians here. I love the book of Ephesians. For you once were darkness, but now you are a light in the Lord. Aren't you glad you know Jesus, who is the light? For the fruit, or as children of light, that's how you live. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases God, what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. When we get over here doing things as the world does it, thinking that intellectually as we, you know, put things to it, we do not recognize the fruitlessness in it. And we keep moving on in this and moving on, and then we come to the Lord and say, Lord, why am I not seeing what you have said in the word? Because you're messing in the fruitlessness. And he wants to set you at liberty. Been there. Some cases still there in some parts of my life. But I thank God for the grace and the mercy. Oh, the mercy. But here's what we sang this morning. Here's what Linda was talking about this morning. If your heart is, Lord, I really do want to get out of that, and I know I'm struggling with my own self, we can get there by surrendering it to the Lord. Lord, I want to do it, but I can't. But I know Holy Spirit can get me there. Holy Spirit, help me.
I can do all things through Christ.
Amen. If you didn't hear that online, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the word in our heart. That's the word in her heart. It's trusting him, trusting the Father. Again, he's not coming along to beat you up. He's coming to rescue out of that which beats you up. Where did I leave off here? It is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes light. What? Huh? I want to talk to you about people who have testimonies where they know the shameful stuff. And it got brought into the light. But they can stand now and testify. It's become illuminated, and it doesn't have the power over them, and it becomes light to others who are stuck in those same dark places. Ever heard a testimony that just spoke to your heart? Because they have walked with the Spirit, with Jesus, out of those dark places. And what they were in became illuminated, and it became a place where they recognized the death that was on it. And now they're in a place of light and life. This is why it says, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Can I call out on the church this morning, not just here, but across the world, across our country, at least across our city? Wake up, sleeper. Rise up from the dead. Sometimes we have been sitting, I'm going to say we've been sitting on the dirt pile watching the mushrooms grow. And we know what mushrooms grow in. So if you want to sit in your mushroom pile, because somebody told you there's a fun guy there. Sorry. Our dad joke. It's time to wake up because you get to experience Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live. Not as the unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are okay. Life's good. Is it? The days are evil, and boy, do we see it every year moving more and more that direction. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of Jesus Christ. That was part of Linda's scriptures this morning. Man, when we get filled with the Spirit, when we move with the Spirit, He fills us with joy. He fills us with songs. He fills us with hymns. Anybody ever been at a Christian meeting where the joy of the Lord breaks out? And just pour, and you cannot stop the laughter, the joy, and the singing. Anybody been there? How many of us would like to see that happen here? This Sunday morning meetings. Well, I don't know. That's a little scary. That's not what I'm used to. I'm used to the traditional two hymns, one children's story, a message from the pastor, and a prayer, and we go home. I'm used to that. Can I tell you, in all love, I'm tired of that. I'm not saying we have to change a lot of things to do it, but what I'm saying is sometimes we're so set in our tradition. We don't even give room for the Holy Spirit to move in the way He wants to. And it sometimes freaks us out because if He moves in the way of people start speaking in tongues and there's interpretation, oh my goodness. What happens if somebody gets so moved by the Holy Spirit they go flat on their face or flat on their back? Oh, that ain't God. That's weird. What if somebody starts laughing so hard they can't control it? What happens if somebody starts dancing up and down the aisles because their heart is so excited about what Jesus has done within them? Well, I don't know if that's God. It may happen all the time. It may happen sometimes. But wouldn't we rather just let the Spirit move on the hearts of people? And I want to tell you, the Lord will give you discernment when it's a spirit from Him and when it's a disruptive spirit. And then you know what you do? You quietly pray. And you command out the disruptive spirit and invite Holy Spirit to move in there. Ooh, I'm not even off of page one. We get to sing and make songs and hymns and spiritual songs about how good our God is, the amazing, wonderful, absolutely practical, but overwhelming God we serve. the practical things in our life, he said, don't even worry about that. I'll take care of it. If you seek my kingdom, seek me first, seek Holy Spirit, all the rest is going to be added unto you. That's my timer saying I've got 10 minutes. And you're saying, oh no, she's got to get done sooner than that. Praise God, no, I know you're not saying that. Or if you are, keep it to yourself. Wake up, sleepers, arise from the dead. The next thing I want to talk about is faith, and this is a long part, but I want to start. Faith. Let's see what we've got here. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, referring to the Israelites as they came out of the desert. But the word which they heard, they did not profit them. No, it profited them not, because they did not mix their faith with their faith in those who heard it. I didn't speak that well, but you get what I'm saying? We're sitting here going, Lord, I see your word, and I see your promises, but are you mixing it with faith? Because you're saying, I don't see it manifesting in my life. I don't see it happening. I'm doing the, let's move on to the next scripture. I'm going to keep going for a minute here. Psalm, I'm deciding where's a good place to kind of cut it off. Otherwise, you're going to be here till 2 and somebody's meatloaf is going to fall apart and, you know. Psalm 78, 41-42. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power. And the day he redeemed them from their enemy. We have to trust he does what he says. He is a powerful God. How many of you made a tree grow this year? You may have watered one, planted one, but he is a powerful God who created all things. Man, he put this little globe in the sky and gave it a spin, and I mean, that's my simplification. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised Jesus from the dead. And it talks about he raised, what was it? I can't forget the number exactly after when he rose out of the grave. How many others rose from the dead and they saw them? Like, can you imagine what that would? This is our God. They saw Jesus heal. How many have ever seen a healing? How many have been a part of laying your hands on somebody and seeing them healed? Hey, can you get your hands up high again? Can you look around and see how many people have laid hands on people and seen them heal? Because the power of the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And we have faith in the Holy One of Israel. And I pray sometimes, Lord, help me where I'm limiting you, where I believe things. Sometimes the Lord's going to ask us to do things that require a step of faith. In fact, most of the time, that requires a step of faith. Sometimes they're going to require a great step of faith. I want you to think about a minute about, well, there's a little white cup on your table. Everybody go and take one of those out of there. See what's in there. It's a seed. What kind of seed do you think that is? It's a mustard seed. It's a little old mustard seed. You get to have one. Take it out. Go ahead. Take it out. Roll it between your fingers. And Jesus makes this incredible claim to us, statement to us. If you have faith that big, you have faith that big, you can move to a mountain. I'm giving you the authority. I'm giving you the power in the Holy Spirit, the authority in my name, and you can move the mountains in your life. Oh, but God, not me. I'm just not that kind of person. Good, because it's not about you, it's about him. And we say, well, I don't even know if I have, I think I only have half a mustard seed of faith. But I'll tell you what, God gave me this picture about a month ago. He said, Jesus tells us, trust God. How many mustard seeds do you think God has of faith? Something like that? Mountains and mountains and mountains of it. He believes his word. He knows who he is and he knows what he does. Jesus says, trust God. Take your little mustard seed of faith and put it with his, and then speak to the mountain. Your faith and his faith together speak to that mountain. We need to speak to it. He's given you the authority. Jesus says, that's right. You speak to it. Because I've already put in place, and I'm working through you, and we say, oh, that's it. But it's incredible. We have the authority, the authority and the Holy Spirit's power and the faith of God and our mustard seed of faith. And we put it together, and wow, what can we do? Okay, I want you to do something. How many of you have already disqualified yourself? Well, I can't do that because, well, I just don't know the word. I can't do that because I'm not sure Holy Spirit works in me. I want you to stand up for a minute. I know. Just about time to go home, but stand up for a minute. How many of you can do this? How many of you can do that? Now, if you can do it a little faster... When you have those thoughts that say, I can't, do a little dance. And I'm going to read you a scripture. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy, that nothing will harm you. Get up and do a dance. Get up and do a dance, because that's the word of Jesus to you. Get up and do a dance. Put all the doubt, I'm doubting, Lord, but I'm putting that doubt under, that's the enemy. He's under my feet. That's in Romans. I'm going to end there because you're standing. And we'll come back to this next week. But if all you take home from today is the Holy Spirit is with you always, he's empowering you. He says you can dance. Put those enemies under your feet, all those doubts, all of that, and start seeing, saying, Holy Spirit, come, fill me, show me. Show me, and I'm going to listen. I'm turning down the volume on the world, and I'm going to listen. Father, we come before you, and again, we say thank you for your presence with us. You never leave us or forsake us. You have poured your Holy Spirit out upon us, and he dwells within us, and Holy Spirit, we say thank you. We are your temple. We are the home of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we want a house clean. We want to shovel out all of the gunkus where we're growing mushrooms. And we want you to fill. Come and fill. We surrender. We surrender to you because what you have for us is so much better. Amen. And we want to rejoice in you. Again, we rejoice because of your finished work, Jesus, because of your willingness. Your love for us, that you went to the cross and took all of our sin and all of our disobedience and all of that, and you took it to the grave. And we receive instead your righteousness. And we thank you for that. We praise you for that. Help us walk, Holy Spirit, in righteousness. And we ask this again in the mighty, powerful, wonderful name of our Savior Jesus. And all the saints said, amen. Amen.